today on It's Time.
If your hope's coming from any other source than Christ, we're in trouble.
Calling, it's time. It's time. It's time.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going verse by verse through the book of Titus. So, follow along in your Bible as we join Pastor Mike.
It's time these wounds to heal. Over the mountains and over the valleys, I hear the calling.
You see, if you look at really every movie, or just about every movie that's out there, it's all based on the Bible. What? Yeah. They are. You see, there was once everything was really good. And then something came along and made it really bad. And so therefore, we needed a savior. It could be Arnold. It could be Batman or Spider-Man or one other thing that would come along and fix what went wrong to interrupt the beautiful system that was once there. Do you realize that's the story of the gospel? God put man in a beautiful place called the Garden of Eden. The devil came along and wrecked it for mankind. And man was crying out for a Batman, a savior, someone to come and fix the problem. God sends his only son, Jesus Christ, and fixes the problem if we'll allow him to fix the problem in our life and grant to us eternal life and make it back like it was in the beginning. That's the gospel. But you realize that people realize that there is something wrong. And do you know what? In the end, when you see, you know, and you're watching the movie or whatever it might be, and you know, the bad guy finally gets it in the end and he's blown up or he's eaten by sharks or I don't know, you enter your own in here. Whatever it might be, and you're going, yeah. And sometimes, if you've ever been in a theater, you'll actually hear people every once go, yeah. Oh, can't do that. They realize that the bad guy gets it. Why? Because of what? What is it that they were looking for? Justice. The guy had it coming, man, and he got it. Well, you think about that for a minute. Do you think those things in this world that have disrupted the lives of others, well, have you ever stolen anything? Well, yeah, so you diminish somebody else's life by your theft. Have you ever lied? Yeah, why? I'm trying to cover up something that I don't want to come to light. You diminish somebody else. You then become the villain. And the devil's going, yes, and that person needs to fry. And God steps in and says, no, I sent my son Jesus to cover his sins, if he'll accept that. That's the gospel, friends. That's what it's all about. God repairing what the devil has done to humanity. And you, and that's who you are, and I am, we're God's representatives in a world that doesn't know him, whom God has extended his grace upon, that by the love of God, we figured it out. And I don't think it was us. Again, not by works that we have done, but that God allowed us to figure out his goodness so then that we have a message to bring to a lost and sick and dying world. That those have been justified by grace should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm consistently, constantly, literally, that those who believe in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men, not for salvation, but for the advancement of those people we want to reach. Now, when we haven't been what we're supposed to be, John tells us in the epistles of John, 1 John, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ Jesus. I've talked to a lot of people that say, well, I'd love to be a Christian, but I'm afraid I'll fail. Well, let me put your heart at ease. You will, okay? That should bring great comfort to us, not in the failure, but in realizing that God will forgive us of our failures. And this is the greatest part, friends. God is bigger than the things you've done wrong. If God is not bigger than the things we've done wrong, then we don't have much of a God, do we? If we don't have a God that can fix and repair and rebuild us, then we don't really have much to talk about. But that's why I do have a testimony. And I look at somebody and I say, and I know your situation, or I've been in something like you've been, but I know God can fix it. And He'll rebuild you, and He'll make you better than you were before. God is the healer and the restorer of our lives. Notice in verse 8 again, this is a faithful saying. It is a faithful saying. It's true. That we maintain what God has done for us, and we don't want to let the world come in and drag us back in to being foolish and disobedient and deceived and serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice or party time and envy and hateful, hating one another. God says, I got you out of that. I got something a lot better for you now. And so He says, avoid foolish disputes. Boy, I'll tell you. Avoid. That means turn the other way in the Greek. It means literally repent or go the other way. Avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. You know what? That's weird. Genealogies is in there. Why is that? Because I think a lot of times we like to look at our past and in some way see how it affects us today. Here's what's important for every Christian to understand. Now, if you're not a Christian this morning, you need to be one, and here's why. When we as a Christian look back, we have to understand for this reason Christ died. When we look back, we look at the cross. For this reason, Christ died. When we look today and in the future, we see a risen Savior. That's really important. Your past is over. There's nothing you can do about it. If you've done something where you've stolen something from somebody, give it back. But the thing is, there's nothing we can do about the past. But your past will destroy you. I talked to a psychologist years ago. They moved away. Used to come to our church. And he said, if I could just get my clients to forgive themselves of their past, I would lose about 90% of my clientele. Why, though? Because our past becomes part of us. But it doesn't have to be in Jesus. Well, that's the way it's been. That's the way it's always going to be. So get used to it. Not in Jesus. You never let anybody paralyze you by reminding you of your past. It's all the devil has, really, for a Christian, to drag you into things. Well, remember what you did. Remember about this. Remember about... Hey, listen. The devil wants to drag you into the past and paralyze you. Remember when you tried that and it didn't work? Well... don't try anything ever again. Okay, I'll just sit here and be a wart. No, you know, you need to get Jesus and wart away. Yes, that's right. Jesus will take the wart out of your life. And you too, once again, can be effective for the kingdom of God. When we get involved in things that don't profit... I've had people come up to me and say, well, you know, Mike, I'd be a better Christian, but I got this old German temper. And then I've talked to people from Italy. You know, Mike, I've got this problem. I got that old Italian temper. Well, what I pretty much realize, it's part of our old sin nature temper. We all can have an anger issue. I'd love to be able to blame it on my relatives of past. But really, I have to realize I'm responsible for me today. That's why it's so great. In Jesus today, you can have a brand new beginning. You don't have to look back at the past anymore. You don't have to look at your history or all these things, because those things do not affect you today. You're a new person in Christ, the Bible says. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Avoid foolish disputes. Now, I think this is wise. Don't argue with people. I think you need to make a good defense for the gospel. But once that has been presented, it's in their hands. Disputes, that means just fightings, and we want to be very careful. And by the way, friends, this is why we're saved. This is why we're saved. So we don't get into foolish disputes. So we don't get into things of the past, the genealogies and all these things. Contentions. Strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. And I talk to a lot of people about striving about the law. They try to bring Christians back under the Ten Commandments again. Listen, when God writes His love on your heart, you want to do what the Bible says to do. Hey, listen, if you love your fellow man, you're not going to be stealing from him. If you love your fellow man, you're not going to be backbiting him. If you love your fellow man, you're not going to be stealing what he has. If you love God, you're not going to be using his name in vain. Do you want a legal relationship with God, or do you want a love relationship with God? God says, I'll write my love on your heart. And then you'll understand, because you've forgiven so much, I then can forgive others, because I realize that I don't need anything they have to be who I am, because I am who I am in Christ. See, the source, what's important. What is the source of your being today? If it's coming out of a six-pack, then I can tell you one thing, you're in a lot of trouble. If it's coming out of a bong, and for us older generation that don't know what that is, it's a device in which people stick many opioids into, including pot, and smoke it. That's a bong. If your hope's coming out of Hollywood, you're in trouble. If your hope's coming from any other source than Christ, we're in trouble. He says, for they are unprofitable and useless. Verse 10, again, going along with this, speaking of someone who is like this, he says, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. In other words, after you've talked to them about it, if they want to stay this way, then cut that source out of your life. I was talking to a friend of mine, and they were telling me how in the dating world they had so much trouble. And they said, I just can't find a good person to go out with. And my question was, well, where are you meeting people at? The bars. Well, have you considered the source? I remember one time years ago, I went into a bar to get a friend that somebody had called me and said, hey, this person is there and they're in trouble. Will you want to go get? So I said, okay, I'll go down. And a friend of me, of mine, and we went into this place. And as I went in there, this person walks up to me and they said, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm looking for you. And I said, let me ask you a question. And I want you to look around at everybody in here right now. Is anybody in here happy? And I remember what this girl told me. I will never forget it. And I think she said it so well. She said, if they were, they wouldn't be here. And I said, why are you here? And she says, I'm leaving. You see, the source is what's important. We're wonderful, wonderful as people in America and around the world of treating symptoms. But God deals with the problem. And we can go to AA and become a DA. We'll need to start going to DA, Drugs Anonymous. And if we're I got off of alcohol and I got off of drugs. Now I'm going to TVA, you know. Game Boy addiction. I'm going to see we're addictive by nature. And if God doesn't fill that void in your heart, it'll go from one thing to another thing to another thing. The problem is the source. It's what the world offers, but the world never satisfies. It says reject a divisive man. That means cut off that source after the first and second speaking to them or warning them, knowing that this person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. Wow. I think it's really weird the Bible uses that word. They're warped. Yeah, they are. Now, the next couple of verses talks about something really important that just casually looking at we might miss. And here's what it is. When I send Artemas to you, or Tychius, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. He mentions four people here that are his friends, which tells me a couple of things. One, true Christianity, you will have real, genuine, true friends. Number two, Paul was a real person who had a need for real friends, just like you and me do. Number four, they were fellow servants sharing the same focus of life as he did. And that was to see a lost world come to Christ. And when we look at this, we see these four guys were people that he cared about in his heart. And he said, when you send them on their way, make sure they're taken care of. In other words, give them a little money, whatever they need to make their journey. I need them. In verse 14, it says, and let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. What does that tell you? That tells you we have to have an eye for people in need. What do you need today? You see, I want to tell you about a source for all that you need. And it doesn't come out of a bottle. It doesn't cost you anything. Yet, honestly and truthfully, it will cost you everything because you have to abandon the world source and tap into God's source today. Now, how do I do that? Well, first of all, we have to admit the world source didn't work. I think that's what repentance is. We go, well, you know what? I tried the world. It didn't work. In fact, I tried all the little nuances that the world offers and it still doesn't work. It works for maybe a little bit, but then I'm unhappy and I'm empty again and I still have this longing, nagging thing about eternity. What if I died today? Maybe I don't die when I'm 100 years old. Maybe I could die tomorrow. Being about our Father's business is so important. Consider the source of your existence today. It's going to dictate your life this year. If your source is Christ, I can guarantee you that at the end of next year, you will have moved closer to God and you will have laid up for yourself treasure in heaven. If your source is the world, there will be no treasure in heaven, and you will be farther away from your desired goal a year from today than you are now. Just the way it works. Paul ends this little book, and he says, all who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. The way the book begins is basically the way the book ends. Grace. Now, we talked about mercy. Again, you go to a judge, you want mercy. But grace is different than mercy. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. God looks at you and says, you know, I just love you and I'm going to bless you. I want all of you listening today to be a candidate for God's blessing. God's got something for you. Have you spent 5 minutes this week asking God what it is? You see, I believe that when we pray, God opens up that vision of ours to see God's purpose for our life. When we're saved, if you're saved here today, you pray to be in God's perfect will. And then you pray and say, God, open my eyes to what you want me to do so that good works and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And as David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not good works so I can go to heaven. I go to heaven because Jesus is good, not because I am. But the good works bring glory to God, your Father in heaven. That's why you're here. You say, why am I here? Am I a cosmic mistake or what happened? You know, lightning in a swamp in a few million years, and here I am. What am I going to do? No. God divinely put you on this earth for his reason. This year, this day, this week, God, what do you want me to do for you? I'm your servant. I want to be about your business. I want to change the source of why I live to you now. You're the reason I live. Let God be your source. You will never lose. This morning, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, have you had enough? Have you had enough tapping into the wrong source only to find you're still empty? Well, if you have, I want to invite you to come to Christ this morning. If you're a Christian and you've allowed the voices of the world to try to supplement the source of Christ in your life, saying, oh no, that's what the Bible says, but there's another way to go, that you would turn those voices off. You would eliminate those sources. As it says, avoid these kind of people, because they're going to sow into your life things that are going to hurt you in the long run. Have you ever noticed how you can be around violent people and you can become more violent? I call it mob mentality. Well, I think we ought to go give them a piece of, yeah, I do too. What do you think? Yeah, I guess so. I'll go tell them what I think too. Bad company produces bad manners, friends. What Paul is saying to Titus is this: let those good things that God's put in you touch the world. You are, every person listening, you are a world changer. And though you may not be able to reach the whole world tomorrow, I guarantee you, you will reach people in your world that no one else will for the kingdom of God. Let God bless you. He's placed you there for a reason. Now let his face shine on you and let God be your source. If you've never come to Christ, we're going to pray. And you can turn your life over to God. You can cut the source of the world and tap into God now, because that's what we're going to talk about. Jesus died on the cross for you to get rid of your sins so you can have a fellowship with God. God will make things right, and he will be the superhero in your life that you've always needed. If you need to pray, you don't want to live like you've lived anymore, you pray this and mean it. God will do as you ask. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I invite you into my life today. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. And his blood took away my past. So from this day forward, I want to live for you. I want you to be my source for everything I need. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me. So I will reflect your love in this world that does not know you. And thank you for eternal life. I get to go to heaven because you're good. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that. Welcome to God's family. Begins with a prayer. God shows you your whole life is goodness.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time.
as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening and tune in next time for It's Time.